Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for this day is Mark chapter 9, here again the part that reads, "And when Jesus had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." You may be seated. What a joy to once again gather together to celebrate the coming together in the Lord, especially on this Rally Sunday. People have been preparing all summer for this day, cleaning, organizing, learning, so that our lives would be enriched and impacted for the rest of our lives. But there's something wrong, and everybody knows it. But there is only one who has the solution. You see, that's what happened after Jesus left some of the disciples behind while he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. When he returns with them, he finds the rest of the disciples, the crowd, and the scribes arguing with each other. And it wasn't getting settled. You know how it is at the dinner table, at the family gathering, in the church narthex, at school, at work. How do you settle a question, a disagreement, an argument? Hey, Google. Siri, what is? Alexa, how do you? And depending on the settings, there's this unruffled female voice that goes ahead and gives you the answer to your question. And of course, if you did it on your phone, you even get other options that you can look at to see if the answer is there. Argument settled? Well, at the time of Jesus, the man with the troubled son couldn't say, "Hey, Google, what do I do to take care of my son? Siri, where do I go to find help? Alexa, who could cast the demon out of my son?" Well, there were no smartphones, no virtual assistants, not even a flip phone. Yet, there were plenty of databases that day in the minds of the crowds, the disciples, and certainly the scribes, who were more knowledgeable than the scribes. For they themselves had the scriptures and studied them, that we have translated as our Bible. The scribes, they were the experts in the Torah, the teaching of Moses that Moses himself had received from God. With them, the argument should have been settled, but it wasn't. The disciples, they had been with Jesus, the very Son of God, but he wasn't there. You know how it is when there are a group of experts gathered together who can't agree. When there's something wrong, everybody seems to have an opinion, don't they? And maybe even a solution is going to be offered. Yet, Dad, you better control your son. This father is struggling, and nobody has a solution. Our text implies that this man had heard about Jesus. And not only about Jesus, those who were following and his disciples. And of course, Jesus teaches it is enough for a disciple to be like his teacher. But the man can't find Jesus. He comes the closest to Google that's available, Jesus' disciples. Jesus healed others. Certainly, his disciples can do something. So the man asks, but they can't do it. The man's hopes are dashed. The crowd is disappointed. And the scribes, the teachers of the law, they gloat. If his disciples failed, certainly Jesus can fail along the way. And the argument goes on. Have you gone to a fellow Christian, or maybe even your pastor, with a difficulty, with a problem, with a struggle, and you lay your heart before them, but they can't give you an answer? Or maybe you were the one that a fellow Christian came to, like to one of our pastors, and they're disappointed with our answer or the help given. And sometimes even an argument starts. We as pastors, we have the scriptures, we have this long history of education and maybe experience. The arguments should be settled. And for us pastors, we are reminded all too well of James 3. Not many of you presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. And we are. People evaluate the congregation, even by their pastor. Even try to go ahead and determine their membership by the pastor. But you know what? We as parents also understand, when we try to go ahead and convince our kids of the truth that will help protect them and that we claim to hold so dear, but the arguments go unsettled, redefining our relationships and even breaking them, the question is, who do you trust? Did you hear it? How the disciples were embarrassed? Because Jesus didn't leave anybody out that day. When he arrived, he says, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear you?" You see, they don't want this to happen to them ever again. I don't think any of us want this to happen to us. And when Jesus entered the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he says to them, "This kind can only be driven out by prayer." Now, I can already hear some of the objections. "Lord, I have prayed over and over and over again, and yet my struggle does not end." We all feel the inability of those remaining disciples, and we judge our faith. And some of us have judged our faith as being worthless, our prayer unanswered, and we wonder wrong. We wonder what's wrong. Is it my prayer? Is it my faith? Am I saying things the right way? Or is God really incapable? But you see, such questions are incomplete, and their answers will not end the questions, the doubts, and the arguments. Yes, our faith is imperfect, just like those disciples. The disciples, soon after this, what do we find them doing? If you'd go ahead and read on the text, the disciples remained. They were unable to do it. And Peter, James, and John, they were with Jesus and saw the Mount Transfiguration. They are bickering who is the greatest. So when Jesus shows up, the man, he gets it right. When he says, "Teacher, You see, Jesus is the only true source for help and answers to end our bickering arguments. When the man hears Jesus' words, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear you?" He too feels the accusation of the law. There's no Siri, there's no Google, there's no Alexa or scribe or disciple who can help his son and his imperfect faith. There's no one left except Jesus. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Jesus is our only help, even for our weak and imperfect faith. And we need to remember that prayer is more than asking God for something. Prayer is more than God will and can do something. Prayer is more than just trusting that God can and will do something. Prayer is that God will and can do something because of Jesus, of who He is and what He did. Now, we don't have Jesus showing up visibly for us this morning, do we? But we do have His Word. It is His Word that we are to trust and to pray. We are to pray according to the Scriptures. Oh, the scribes could go ahead and say, "Yeah, we have the Scriptures, and we're doing that." But they left one thing out. They left Jesus out of the Scriptures. The very Son of God. And reject Him. Prayer and our lives as a Christian is more than saying, "Hey, Bible, what's the answer to my problem?" It is humbly reading and studying and listening and hearing about what they testify. Jesus said of the Scriptures in John chapter 5, verse 39, "These are the Scriptures that testify about me." And when we look at the Scriptures, we're to see Jesus. And the Scriptures point us to baptism. And what do we see? Jesus, His death, His resurrection, our death, our resurrection. And it turns us to the Lord's Supper, a holy communion with God Himself. And there, we're to see Jesus, His body, His blood, sacrificed for us, but raised from the dead, to sit at the right hand of the Father with all authority over all things, even our problem. For He is our Lord and Savior. He is our Lord and Savior. Even when He sounds harsh, pointing out our faithlessness, He is our Lord and Savior, even when He goes ahead and leaves us in our troubles a little longer than we really want to be there. We can ask Him, "Lord, what in the world are You doing?" And yet we trust He will do it so our faith will become stronger and grow, for He is our only solution. You go back into where Paul struggled and shared his same struggle in 2 Corinthians. He says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this thorn in the flesh, that it should leave me. But Jesus said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Now, Paul eventually learned that this trouble remained in order to keep him from becoming conceited for what the Lord had revealed to him and made him. and so that he would eventually be able to confess, "Therefore, I will boast all the more of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." That's the kind of faith that God is building in us through his word centered in Jesus Christ. Our troubles, like the troubles of the father with the troubled son, our arguments with others, like the ones between the disciples and the scribes, will indeed all come to an end. They are temporary. And so we persistently pray, as he has commanded us to do. But our troubles will come to a blessed end. In this solution, Jesus Christ, amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.